Arizona Congressman Raul Grijalva visited the Southwest Key Program shelter in Tucson on Friday. The shelter houses 79 children separated from their families at the border, among other unaccompanied minors in federal custody.
It's not hell in there for these children, but it's not Shangri-La. I mean, they're there involuntarily. Some of them have not seen their parents. And as we know now, the ICE and Homeland Security is having a heck of a time trying to match these kids up to their parents.
Grijalva says he told officials he's unhappy about the ongoing secrecy around shelter operations. It took a month before his request to visit was granted. The shelter was able to reunite two children with their parents last week, but Grijalva says he was told by shelter employees that they are worried they won't be able to reunite migrant families within the court-ordered 30 days. He's unhappy with the logistical problems as well, record-keeping and lingering unanswered questions throughout this process.
The buck is squarely in the administration's hand. Do you put the resources behind it, get these kids unified, allow the parents to present their cases of credible fear, quit sending 4- and 5-year-olds into court to be represented by attorneys when they don't understand what the process is? And if you deport a parent, how are you going to unify them with their kid, and who's going to pay for it? Those are all questions now that they have been stirred up.
With us now to give us a broader overview of the reunification process, we're joined by John Sepulveda, host of the California Report on KQED. He's reported on the family separations as well as the June 26th federal district court order from San Diego to reunify the children and the government's response since then. John, good morning.
Good morning.
So the Trump administration is facing a deadline tomorrow, and it sounds as though they're not overly optimistic they're going to be able to do that.
There's no way they're going to be able to do it. I mean, just dollars to donuts time. They have not, everything that the congressman said is essentially true, and the government has acknowledged as much in court. Right now, the ACLU and the judge in the case has a list of 102 children who have been under the age of 5 who have been separated, and it's looking like, according to the list and according to my sources and including the government's own acknowledgments on Friday, they would only be able to unify about half of those children. So we're talking about between 49 to 52. And on top of that, they won't be able to do that in a speedy manner because while the parents, just to get the kids would take, you know, up to 72 hours. So this is a real mess. And frankly, there's no other way to put it. And it's a mess that is not going to be fixed, not only by this deadline, but there's another deadline for kids who are older, and it's not going to be fixed then either.
Is there a sense of how complete these lists are? Like, does that list of the kids that theoretically anyway need to be reunified with their parents by tomorrow, is that everybody that falls into that category?
That's everyone that the government can find at this point. And so no, there's the government at this point seems to have almost no confidence in their ability to find these children. And again, this isn't me saying this is an opinion. This is saying what the government is actually saying in court. So the government lawyer who's from Colorado, her job is essentially to corral a bunch of different immigration agencies that, despite Congress's, I guess you could call them best intentions after 9/11, are all supposed to talk to each other. They are not talking to each other. And it is very, very difficult for them to get a complete grasp. In fact, in court, the government attorney was saying, look, I can give you a list, but that list is probably going to change. It could grow. It could shrink. We're not anticipating that it's going to be much more than 102. And this has more to do with our reporting of reaching out to the facilities that actually have the children and kind of getting a head count that way. But it is clear that the government does not have confidence in the data that they've kept, because as the congressman was just saying, the data, in fact, in the government's own filings, the government says that they can't even tell whether a parent meets this, it's called class status, because the agencies don't have the technical ability to keep track of data like that. That's because these agencies, many of them, were not designed to do this. They were designed to help in extreme emergency situations. Think, and the government cites this again in their court filings, think Hurricane Maria. You know, some of these kids would have ended up in those kinds of encampments while people searched for their parents. They were never, ever anticipated to hold kids who have been separated by their by the government from their families.
So, John, I hate to ask sort of the question is to me, though, like, how is this possible, right? Like, is this, it seems the difference between something like Hurricane Maria and this is that the government did this to themselves in a way. Is there any, was there any sense that there was planning ahead of time that could have prevented this?
This was absolutely not planned ahead of time. What happened was, and this is, again, and I want to keep saying this because one of the things that comes up is people say, oh, well, you're attacking the government. So I just want to be very transparent with your listeners. This is according to the government itself. According to the government itself, there was a plan to deter asylum seekers. This is how it began. And in fact, this case revolves around an asylum seeker from the Congo named Ms. L. And she was separated from her child. And it's been basically since President Trump has been in office, it's been part of their MO to deter other people from seeking asylum and to get people to essentially say, you know what, I don't want asylum because you've kept me away from my child and you've kept the conditions very, very bad for the past, you know, 6 months or whatever. So what happened was, is when the ACLU started to sue about this, the government, instead of, you know, saying, okay, we're not going to do this, the suit's coming, we're clearly in a world of potential hurt, and we're going to put people in a world of potential hurt, what they did instead was double down and said, okay, now we're going to start separating all families. And they unveiled this operation, this zero tolerance policy. So what happened was, is there was no planning, there was really no foresight, and this, again, is not coming from me. This is coming from the government's own lawyers as they're trying to explain this, and they're under this very tough court order, and the judge has made it very clear that he's been very fair to the government. He's been, in many ways, this is a Bush appointee judge who clearly respects, you know, the process that's going to happen. But he says at the end of the day, there needs to be good faith, and I need to see that the government is moving towards reunification.
All right, John, I'm sorry to interrupt. We're unfortunately going to have to leave it right there. That's John Sepulveda, host of the California Report on KQED. John, thanks a lot.
Thank you.